Yeah, I mean, you know, as a startup founder, I just think the best businesses with the best products and best services are going to win. And so
the algorithms that power TikTok are one of the, you know, core pieces of the business of ByteDance. So they would rather have TikTok ban in the US rather than surrender those algorithms over to a US buyer.
You know, we are where everybody around the world wants to come and feel included in our society and are viewed as, you know, the most internationally friendly and desired place to be. And if we start acting like China, then we're going against all of our ideals, I think, as Americans.
Welcome back to the Middle Tech Podcast. You've got Logan Jones and Evan Knowles here, back for episode 281. Took a little week break there to get some more guests scheduled. And today we're coming to you talking about some news that we wanted to update our Middle Tech listeners on. So two pretty big stories we've been following for a while. So it's going to be the FTC's ban on non-competes, which we talked about a year ago when they first proposed that ban. And then also the TikTok bill that has been signed into law now that is essentially either forcing a sell of TikTok or outright banning it in the United States. So we're going to be breaking those stories down before we do. Evan, how you doing? You've been heads down building Devise now for how long has it been? 4, 5 months, 6 months? What are you going on?
Yeah, about 5 months now, 5.5. Started really talking about it heavily in November of last year and started building shortly after that, after we exited Simba, and I took a little break and traveled. And now I'm in the thick of fundraising. We've got a really amazing team put together and some of the best entrepreneurs and investors in this region are going to invest in our pre-seed round. So I'm currently trying to put that together and I'm exhausted. Fundraising and with everything else I've got going on is, you know, it takes a toll. So it took a lot for me to even do this podcast. So I'm wiped. So it's been a day of nothing but investor meetings.
Well, we appreciate you making the time, buddy. No, but on the real, you have been grinding and I admired a lot. So excited for you to share more about that when he says he's got some awesome investors and entrepreneurs and team behind Devise. He means it. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on that I will let Evan share at his discretion. We also got to go up to Covington yesterday, which was a lot of fun. Middle Tech got recognized at the Kentucky Backed event, which was an event that the, let's see, I don't want to get this wrong. You were the one who sent that event. Who put that on exactly? From my perspective, it was Kentucky's Cabinet of Economic Development, but do you know if that was the main people
to
put it on?
Yeah, so Key Horse Capital really coordinated a lot of that with Blue North. And of course, KY Innovation. So it was really a gathering of our state's venture capitalists, angel investors, really anybody that's fostering capital and backing companies in our state. It was kind of a gathering for one celebration, but also information.
Yeah. So we got to hear from Drura Parrish, as well as Paul Ellinger from Flamel, which is great. Both previous guests of the podcast. Got to see a lot of investors that we talk to pretty frequently, some we've had on the podcast. So cool event overall. Middle Tech got recognized. We got a nice custom bat, which was unexpected. We didn't know we were getting that. So it was very nice to get some recognition from Monique at Kentucky Innovation. So cool. Let's dive into these stories. Before we do, let's get a quick word from our sponsors. Before highlighting our sponsors, we'd just like to state that the views and content shared on this platform do not necessarily reflect those of our show sponsors. Middle Tech is presented by KY Innovation, the Kentucky Cabinet for Economic Development's Office of Entrepreneurship. KY Innovation exists to support and develop Kentucky's startup ecosystem, and we are proud to be supported by an organization whose mission aligns so closely with ours. If you're a founder building in Kentucky, you need to check out the resources that KY Innovation has to offer. You can find more information by clicking the link in our show notes or going to kyinnovation.com.
Middle Tech is sponsored by Bolt Marketing. Take your website to the next level with a website that's built to work. At Bolt Marketing, they're revolutionizing websites for small businesses that are affordable, customizable, and hassle-free. Whether you have a construction company, a boutique clothing store, or you own a hot yoga studio, they have options for you. Click the link in our show notes to explore their marketing options that can transform your marketing and grow your business. And as a personal note, Bolt Marketing built our website, and they were awesome to work with throughout the entire process. we highly recommend working with.
Middle Tech is also supported by Huntsicker, an impact venture studio based in Lexington, Kentucky. Huntsicker is creating companies out of the ordinary by founding and funding the next generation of purpose-driven startups. They partner with founders to create indispensable solutions to the world's most fundamental problems. On a quarterly basis, they host an invite-only intimate gathering called Fireside Convos, where attendees representing a wide network of stakeholders in the regional entrepreneurial ecosystem discuss timely topics, including the role of AI for startups out of Kentucky and the challenges of identifying and attracting talent. To be considered as a guest, visit huntsicker.co/fireside to apply. All right, Evan, let's start off by talking about this non-compete ban that the FTC has. They first proposed it back in January of 2023. We had a podcast about that, talking about the potential effects of that and how significant that was going to be. They have now moved to enact that ban. So they're moving forward with banning non-competes. This is a really big deal. It could have pretty big ripple effects throughout the entire economy. So we wanted to just, one, record an episode kind of recapping this, but also give mine and Evan's thoughts on this as people who are in the business ecosystem, because it could very well affect companies that are operating in Kentucky's ecosystem. So just to kind of give an overview of what this ban would actually propose, why the FTC is proposing it in the first place, it would be an outright ban on all existing non-compete agreements, with the exception of those signed by senior executives. And the reason the FTC is doing this is because they believe that non-competes harm workers and competition by restricting job mobility, which, to be fair, they do. But they estimate that the ban could increase wages by up to $296 billion annually by allowing workers to freely change jobs. And so the ban is clearly just aiming to protect workers' economic liberty and foster a more competitive economy from the FTC's perspective. So let's kind of dive into all the intricacies of this. Evan, why don't you kick us off by kind of talking about some of the additional details that are coming up around some of the legal challenges here, and maybe a little bit around, you know, why non-competes are important, both from the perspective of, you know, somebody that started a business themselves and also been an employee that's likely signed a non-compete at some point.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is going to be quite the legal battle here. This is a really big deal, as you mentioned. So there's plenty of groups that are suing the government over this. You know, number one is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who is one of the largest lobbying groups in the government. Yeah. And then you've got Ryan LLC, which I'm not familiar with, but they're a global tax services and software provider suing for the same reasons. And I'm sure there's a list of, you know, many other businesses that would be suing over this to dive into the details, but also delay the process of this going through. And so, I think that what the government is laying out here, you know, has positives but also negatives. And one of the things on the legal side that the government is saying is, hey, you know, there's non-competes, there's other ways to protect proprietary data and trade secrets outside of non-competes. So I think there are plenty of ways for businesses to protect themselves. And, you know, there's various facets of each of those legal documents that are slightly differing from each other. And so the government is laying out a framework here to say, hey, you know, this is just one of the many ways that businesses can protect themselves. And unfortunately, it's attached to employment and what they can do after they leave a business. And so they're specifically targeting that, to your point, of protecting, you know, our individuals' liberty to go, you know, work where they wish. However, you know, if you're a business, you know, you could sign non-solicitation agreements, you can sign trade secret agreements with these employees and NDAs, and, you know, there's plenty of other, again, documents, and the government, as part of this legal process, will lay that out. And I think this is healthy. I think that there is something to look into here as it relates to non-competes. I do believe that it prevents the workforce from moving freely. However, you do also have to protect businesses, and kind of the bedrock of many businesses, especially in the technology space, is, you know, their proprietary data in the form of, you know, patents, trade secrets, their customers and their customers' data, and their solicitation of customers and their employees. So there's all kinds of ways that I think businesses need to be protected, and diving into the details of this and a very public case, I think is healthy for the overall market.
Yeah. I think my first initial reaction when reading into this was this seems like a little bit of an overstep for the FTC to come in and, you know, essentially try to enforce how companies can protect their own intellectual property and, you know, trade secrets and customer relationships and things like that. I agree with you in terms of businesses are going to find a way to protect each of those things through other means, through other, you know, legal documents that they put in place. So maybe the way to look at it is that non-compete agreements are probably a little too broad in some cases and can prevent employees from being able to freely move around and take advantage of wage increases. But I think overall, if I'm an employee, I obviously love this because let's say, for example, the last company that I was at, being able to go, you know, from a company that was working in the marketing space in the insurance industry, the non-competes were very, very common there. So like it was very common to see somebody leave one company and then not be able to go and work at a competitor. And so as an employee, you're obviously hurting your wages and the opportunities available to you. Whereas the business, if you're trying to, you know, leave a big company and go start your own company, for example, you're also pretty handicapped from that perspective as well. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, as a startup founder, I just think the best businesses with the best products and best services are going to win. And so when you have this non-compete kind of muddying the water and allowing talent to flow freely and move towards maybe the best products or create a better service, you know, I think that needs to be looked at. And I think that's what the government is saying here is that, you know, there is a potential to improve the business environment. And if, let's say, an employee leaves their former employer and goes and does their own thing or goes to another employer that's doing something similar and they're able to provide a better service and a better product and take customers, that's the free market right there. So anything that gets us closer to the free market, I'm all for, and it's up to businesses to figure out how to protect themselves in other ways. And so that's one perspective. Another perspective is I'm currently under a lot of non-competes, non-solicitation agreements after the acquisition of Simba. So, you know, that would have prevented me from doing a lot of things in the prop tech industry related to the product I was building. And so in that case, you know, I think it makes sense. And, you know, they bought my business and they don't want me to turn around and do the same business. And from their perspective, I think that makes sense, like I said. However, from my perspective, you know, I might want to turn around and build a better company than I did the first time. And that might be the only industry I know a lot about. And now I can't do it. So I also see it from my side as the employee. So I think it's a tough situation. I default back to, I think this process is going to be healthy. And, you know, I think one thing I'm noticing is I personally haven't heard about this being an issue. You know, with as many years as I've dealt with founders and in the technology space, this has not been brought up until the FTC really started digging into it. So from that perspective, it kind of looks like an overstep. So, you know, I can see both sides again. I just want what's healthiest for the market. And to me, that's as much freedom as possible. So I could be okay with this ban.
Yeah, I do agree. It's more of a free market move. My main concern with that is being able to take, you know, existing relationships with customers or legitimate trade secrets. I don't know what the other mechanisms for protecting those types of things are. So I assume that there'll be some sort of other documents that are reflective of those same types of protections that companies will start to put in place. Let's move on to this next story, though. So it feels like we've been talking about TikTok being banned in the U.S. for 2 years now, maybe more than that. So there's been a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk about it when Trump was in office. Then it kind of died down when Biden came into office. Now it has come back and forth and back and forth. And now it has finally been signed into law alongside a bill that provides aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. So it's been slid into that defense support bill alongside of those things. So Evan, you did some research on this story. Let's start getting into the details here. Give us the high level of what this bill actually says.
Yeah, so on Wednesday,
says now.
Biden signed into law that if TikTok isn't sold within a year, then he will ban it in the United States. So the thing about this is going to be just like the last one, a very long, drawn out legal process. You know, they're getting sued by TikTok. I'm sure many other groups will sue the United States government. So, you know, this is not going to happen overnight. It's probably going to take, you know, years to get this done, probably definitely more than a year. And so this has been talked about, like you said, for a while. I'm not sure how this is going to land. I would assume that it's not going to get banned. You know, I think that there are great arguments on both sides of the issue, but I don't see this going through. I think that this is a pretty large overstep for the government. As much as I distrust a Chinese-owned business this big in the United States, and I believe that they are running, you know, psychological operations on American citizens, so are Facebook and many other platforms, and it's been proven, for instance, with Cambridge Analytica and many other issues that have come up with TikTok, Twitter, you know, the Twitter files. So I'm not sure where this is going to land, but I see both sides.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I know a lot of people have built businesses off of TikTok, just like some of the other social platforms. So, you know, I definitely empathize with them losing a part of their livelihoods. I will say, the only two options I see here are TikTok gets banned or they prevail in the courts by challenging this law is unconstitutional is likely what they're going to argue. But ByteDance has already come out and said that they're not going to sell it. They're going to opt for having it banned rather than having it sold. And the primary reason behind that being that the algorithms that power TikTok are one of the, you know, core pieces of the business of ByteDance. So they would rather have TikTok banned in the US rather than surrender those algorithms over to a US buyer. And a US buyer is obviously not going to buy TikTok without the algorithms included. So that's all to say, it's either going to come down to a battle in court where TikTok will prevail, which seems to be the side that you're taking, Evan, that this will not actually go through. This will be ruled unconstitutional in some way and will not... either be banned or sold, or it'll be outright banned. But it's not, you know, they're trying to force a sell here, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm very much like you, where I see both sides. I'm not a user of TikTok. I don't make money off TikTok. So it's easy for me to sit here and say, like, oh yeah, like I don't really care if it gets banned. I definitely see the sides of it around, freedom of expression and freedom of speech. And I could see that being an overstep, but I'm really not comfortable with the idea of a foreign adversary running the largest social media platform in our country. That doesn't sit right with me. So it's like you're basically having to choose between the lesser of two evils. In my mind, I would rather have TikTok banned rather than allow ByteDance, which is a Chinese Communist Party controlled company, have access to all of the data that comes along with running a platform like TikTok.
Yeah, so some quick stats. 170 million Americans use it. About one third of all young people in the United States use it. And so, you know, carries a lot of weight. And like you said, it's fastest growing social media platform in the US. It's the most addictive. I never downloaded it. I never used it. So, you know, that was just me on my, you know, principles, just one, not wanting another distraction in my life, but two, again, I don't trust any app owned by, you know, the Chinese government. You know, it's not technically owned by the Chinese government, but by law in the United and China, it is owned by the government. It's a tough situation. And I think there's a great senator remark here from Ed Markey out of Massachusetts, which is, TikTok poses a serious risk to privacy and mental health of our young people, but that problem isn't unique to TikTok and certainly doesn't justify a ban. American companies are doing the same thing. And again, that's been proven with Cambridge Analytica, Twitter files, our own government's doing it to us. And so I think the issue here is that it's not our government, it's China's government doing it to us, which again, I'm not comfortable with. I definitely get it. But yeah, I think that this is just not going to happen. It's just too big of a ban. And another side of this is, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, is you know, China is the one that's created a walled garden around their internet, and they're preventing other foreign influences from entering their internet and ultimately their country. We, as the United States, has elected not to do that. You know, we're freedom. We're based on freedom. We're based on freedom of information, freedom of expression. So there's parts of the United States that say, well, they do it to us, so we should do it to them. And I just think that that is against American values of really, again, freedom of information and perspectives. And, you know, we are where everybody around the world wants to come and feel included in our society and are viewed as, you know, the most internationally friendly and desired place to be. And if we start acting like China, then we're going against all of our ideals, I think, as Americans. And so I wish that ByteDance would just sell it to an American company and retain some sort of ownership and upside so they can continue to make money. I have no issue in a Chinese company making a lot of money in America. It's just that this is a different type of business. This is directly plugged into the brains of American citizens, and we just can't have a communist adversary with that kind of control. So I wish that they would just sell it and we could move on and have an American owned company own this and have our best interests in mind. But, you know, if that's not going to happen, then I guess it's going to be banned. But again, I don't think that will happen.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We shouldn't ban a social media here just because China does it. That makes us more like China and less like America. Like I said, I mean, I'm still of the opinion that it makes me uncomfortable, particularly it's a foreign adversary. Like, it could be, you know, pick any other country aside from like China, Russia, and any of these other countries that we have that we label as an adversary formally, and I wouldn't have a problem with it. But it's just the fact that tensions seem to be rising with China, especially as it relates to Taiwan, and platforms like these can just be used as another vector of war in these days, especially around propaganda. I mean, it's like it can be, I'm not saying it is, I'm not saying it's not, but it can absolutely be used as a massive propaganda machine. And especially as tensions kind of rise all around the world, everything's pretty connected geopolitically, but especially with Taiwan, where we would have to get involved if China did make a move on Taiwan, I'm just not comfortable with the Chinese government being able to have any sort of influence over a platform that's as influential as TikTok and as plugged into American society and the young minds of America's society in particular. It's just too easy for them to manipulate the type of information that's being consumed on that platform by the users there. So my main problem is that it's the adversarial relationship that we have with China, not necessarily like, oh, China doesn't allow it there, therefore we shouldn't allow it. It's more so like, it just worries me that they have that kind of vector of control over us and we don't have a similar vector of control over them. Like it's out of balance in my mind.
No, I'm with you there.
Yeah. You have anything else to add around either of those stories before we wrap up here? I think those are all the thoughts I have on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the news lately has been, it was like rather light. I mean, especially in the tech ecosystem. I mean, it's really been mostly AI, and this has been kind of two big stories that popped up that we felt we had to cover because we've been talking about them for a couple of years now. And finally, you know, they've worked their way all the way through the House and the Senate and all the way up to the president. And this is something that is a pretty big deal. So we'll see. But no, I don't have anything else to add.
No, I know news-wise, I feel like it's AI, something to do with Elon Musk, or there's been some robotic stuff going on. There's been some stuff in the nuclear space too. Evan and I were kind of tossed around ideas for, you know, every now and then we'll do these news highlight episodes rather than talking to an entrepreneur. We're trying to come up with ideas for what we wanted to talk about on this episode. I think eventually we need to do a AI and robotics episode. I saw a good quote. It said that AI is the rails and robotics is the freight train coming down the rails on top of it. I think that's very true. If you've seen some of the demos by Figure, Brett Adcock's company, that's integrated with ChatGPT and some of the things that it can do. If you've seen things like Optimus from Tesla, I think robotics is going to be a pretty big deal over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And then I think we'll do another kind of narrative news style episode. I'd like to do one around nuclear at some point. There's been a lot of stuff a lot of good momentum going on in nuclear. President Biden's been talking about it a lot. State of Kentucky has formed a board around nuclear energy in the state. So yeah, hopefully we'll make some time to do one of those soon as well. But anyway, thanks for tuning in for this one. We will be back next week with an entrepreneur that has had a big exit merger. What would you refer to BehaveVR's recent business move as?
Yeah, it seems like a merger.
Yeah, big merger. So we're talking with an entrepreneur that's been on, Aaron Ghani, BehaveVR. We had him on back in 2021, I believe. So it's been almost 3 years since we've actually talked with him. So they had a merger, which is a pretty big deal. We're going to be talking with him about everything that went on between those two companies, what he's learned through that process, and just catch up in general. So tune in next week. Until then, see you next time.